Our first reading is the beginning of the story of the life of Ruth in the Old Testament, which we're going to be looking at for a while. And this is Ruth chapter 1. If you are using the church Bibles, it's on page... can't see the page. 267. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife's name Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who would become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I'm too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second reading is coming from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and it is the end of 1 Thessalonians and provides a very challenging read. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 to 28, and in the church Bibles you'll find it on page 1188. "Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Perfect. We have power. Amazing. Well, as Johnny said, I'm Ellie, and I'm married to David, and we've been here for about 5 months here in Guildford. And it is a joy and a privilege to be able to share from God's word this morning as we focus in on our first reading from Ruth chapter 1. The German poet Alexander Schroeder, who was nominated for the Nobel Prize in Literature 5 times, gave the Book of Ruth this verdict. No poet in the world has written a more beautiful short story. And over this season of Advent, we're going to be exploring this beautiful, transformative story, which begins in the little town of Bethlehem. A place where hundreds of years later, another beautiful story of transformation would unfold. Would you pray with me as we open up God's word together? Loving Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is truth. And we pray as we open it together now, God, as we meditate on it, that you would speak to our hearts and that we would be changed more into your likeness. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We see right here at the start of Ruth chapter 1 that despite its name meaning house of bread, Bethlehem is experiencing a famine. And the situation in the land is so severe, so hopeless, that this family, Elimelech, Naomi, and their 2 boys, travel to Moab. Moab was a nation known for its idol worship, its practice of human sacrifice, and its total hostility to their god, Yahweh. So you might think it was a curious escape plan. But to Moab they go, and a tale of disaster and devastation unfolds as Naomi's husband died, followed by her sons and even her family name, because there was no heir. Things couldn't get more desperate if they tried for poor old Naomi. In a culture in which a woman's security rested with her husband and her sons, she was left with nothing. No security, no hope, and no future. And yet, in the midst of this hopelessness and this despair, we see here in Ruth chapter 1 a beautiful friendship emerge. And it's Ruth's friendship with Naomi that I want us to focus on this morning as we consider how true friendship breaks down barriers. True friendship requires commitment. And true friendship points us to Jesus Christ. true friendship, the kind of friendship we see modeled here in Ruth 1 and celebrated throughout the Bible, breaks down barriers. As I've already mentioned, following the famine back home, Naomi and her family end up in Moab, a condemned nation. In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 23, we read that no Moabite may enter the assembly of the Lord. And this little family from Bethlehem and Judah must have been desperate to go there. And it clearly wasn't a fleeting visit, because her boys had enough time to settle down and meet and marry Moabite women, Ruth and Orpah. But as we've seen, things go from bad to worse as Naomi loses everything in this hostile land. And then we read in Ruth 1, verse 6, that amid the chaos and the loss, Naomi hears the situation has changed back home, and so she begins to make her way back to Bethlehem. And as she begins that journey, she starts off with her daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah, before stopping in her tracks and pleading with them to go back to their home in Moab. After much weeping and distress, Orpah decides to listen and turn back. But Ruth refuses. Ruth isn't going anywhere. In the most desperate of circumstances, this woman from a hostile land, an outsider to the people of God, chooses to step in and stay. True friendship breaks down barriers. Age barriers, class barriers, financial barriers, ethnic barriers, worship style barriers. True friendship, the kind of friendship that we see between Ruth and Naomi, breaks all this down. When I graduated from university, a load of my friends headed off for jobs in London. They went off to do graduate jobs and all sorts of things like that. They moved in with their friends. They spent their time doing things that people in their early 20s do. Meanwhile, I, aged 22, moved to rural Hertfordshire to be a youth and children's pastor, where I spent my weekends and evenings hanging out with precious people like Jim and Judy, Phil and Anne, Anne and John, who had me over at all times of day and sometimes night. I was younger than all of their children, and yet they chose to invest in me, spend time with me, and befriend me. I owned keys to all their houses, and I would just turn up and let myself in at any time, knowing that I was always welcome, and I was always, without exception, greeted with warmth and kindness. In those formative years of my life, we laughed together, we cried together, they provided me with hot meals, tissues, and a lot of fun. They provided a place where I could be myself, where I could be loved, as I navigated my early 20s, and I'm so thankful for those precious friends. True friendship breaks down barriers. I don't know about you, but I can read this story between this friendship between Ruth and Naomi, and my takeaway can be, you know what? I need a Ruth in my life. I just need to pray for someone to come into my situation today, to break through the barriers, whether that's a joyful situation that I'm in or one full of pain and brokenness. I need a Ruth. And that's not in and of itself a bad thing to decide. We all need friendship and support. But over the years, I've come to realize that the true question that we are to ask as we read this passage is not, where is my Ruth? But who can I be a Ruth to? And when we ask that question, we've got to be surprised and be prepared to be surprised at the answer we might get, because it might not be the people that we expect that we are led to. In the family of God, today in our church family, barriers are broken down and unlikely friendships form. Ruth and Naomi were such unlikely friends from different cultures, different ages, different life situations. It would have been so easy for Ruth to write Naomi off and vice versa. But this surprising friendship was life-giving in so many ways. Not least of all, because it led Ruth to worship Yahweh. It led Ruth to worship Naomi's God. And I love this because it shows us that no one is exempt. No one is excluded from being part of the family of God. I'll be forever grateful for that, those amazing people in Hertfordshire who became some of my dearest friends at a formative part in my life. One of the things so many young people say when they join Emmanuel is that we love that it is multi-generational. It's one of the things when we arrived 5 months ago, we were so struck by. We love that there are people that we can learn and grow with. And we're at a current time in our church as lots of new people are coming in, lots of younger people are getting involved, and we need those that have been walking with Jesus for years to disciple and support and encourage and cheer them on. Whatever, however long we've been following Jesus, if we've been following him for decades, our work is not done. We can play our part in building the kingdom of God. And that's just one example. There are so many examples of the kind of barriers that are broken down in God's kingdom. And I want to encourage us this week to pray and to ask God who he's calling you to. Are there people, are there boundaries that he's calling you to cross? Maybe people who are very different from you. Maybe people that you before have just written off. Be open to who the Spirit might lead you to. It may not be who you expect. True friendship breaks down barriers. And secondly, true friendship requires commitment. It requires commitment. You know, there were loads of reasons why Ruth might not have stayed with Naomi. Reason number one, in verse 8, Naomi tells her to go away. Go away, go back to Moab, is what Naomi says. Reason number two, Ruth is a Moabite. Going with Naomi would have meant leaving everything behind, any chance of getting married, any kind of future, really. And in those days, that would have been massive for a woman to decide to do. And reason number three, Naomi is a bitter old woman. And I'm not being harsh when I say that. It says it here in the passage. It's what Naomi says about herself. When she comes back to Bethlehem, when people start asking her her name, she insists that they stop calling her Naomi, which means pleasant, and instead call her Mara, which means bitter. Imagine meeting someone and you introduce yourself and you ask their name and they say, "Hi, I'm bitter." What's your response going to be? "Hey, shall we go and grab a coffee in the cafe?" Maybe not. Maybe, if you're an exceptionally wonderful person. But you know, that probably isn't going to endear you to them. And yet, that is the situation between Ruth and Naomi. Ruth had every reason to walk out and to turn her back, but she doesn't. She chooses to stay, and she knows better than anyone the pain and the brokenness and the bitterness that is real in Naomi's life after all that she has been through, and yet she chooses to stay. True friendship requires commitment no matter what. And we read in verse 14 that Ruth clings to Naomi. I don't know if you heard that as it was read. I am very fortunate to have an amazing relationship with my mother-in-law. But I know sometimes that can be a more tricky relationship for people. And the idea of clinging to one another might be unimaginable. And yet this is what Ruth does. She clings to Naomi because she loves her. And verse 16 makes me wonder if Ruth have been to drama school as she's expressing her love for Naomi. She delivers a prize-winning speech beginning, "Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God." And then she goes on to the climax. "And where you die, I'll die. And there I'll be buried." Ruth doesn't hold back. There's nothing half-hearted about her commitment. She's prepared to lay it all down for the sake of Naomi, her culture, her people, her land, her future. Nothing in it for her. Her friendship to Naomi was sacrificial and costly. And you know, it's not always easy, is it, to stick with people who are really struggling? Maybe who are even pushing us away and have put the barriers up. And I'm sure that some of us in this room can relate. Maybe we are the people that are pushing others away and we're too scared to let anybody in. Or maybe we're walking with people whose lives are in pain and brokenness, whose lives are messy, and it's hard to keep going. There's a cost to it, but we do it not because we want something back, but out of love. A few years ago, I came across a striking story of a mum and a daughter living in Brazil. Maria, the mum, and Christina, the daughter. They lived in a poor Brazilian neighborhood where Maria, the mum, worked as a maid, which afforded them few luxuries, but gave them enough to cover the basic costs of living. And Christina, the daughter, was fed up with living as they were, and she dreamed of switching dusty village life for the bright lights of the city. And one day, Christina ran away to Rio to fulfill her dream. But Maria knew all too well what realities would face her when she got there. It broke her heart, so she packed a bag and she made her way to find her. And on her way, she stopped off, on her way to the bus stop, she stopped off and she got a load of pictures printed. And on the back of each picture, she wrote a little note. When she arrived in Rio, she put these pictures up everywhere that she thought that her daughter might find them, in brothels, in nightclubs, in back alleys, in backstreet hotels, anywhere she thought that her daughter might go. But eventually her money ran out and she had to return home. And a few weeks later, Christina was coming down the stairs of a backstreet hotel in some dark corner of Rio, her dream having become a nightmare, and she sees a picture of her mum. She reaches out for it, she turns it over, and on the back are written these words: "Christina, whatever you've done, whatever you've become, please come home." And she made the journey home. You see, true friendship commits. It perseveres. It never gives up, even if it takes us to some hard and dark places. And my question for us this morning is, who is God calling us to commit to? Take time this week to ask the Lord, and we can't do this kind of friendship for many people. Maybe you already know today who those people are. You already have those friendships. Well, I want to encourage us to take time to pray for those people and to ask God for the strength to keep walking with each other, because these friendships are so precious. Maybe you long for this. Maybe you hear about this kind of friendship and you think, I just long for that. Something we have here at Emmanuel are pods, groups of 3 to 5 people who meet up, who share life together, who are real with each other, who pray for one another. And maybe you could come and, if you're looking for that, come and chat to somebody on the leadership team. Maybe pray and ask the Lord who in this church family you might be able to set a pod up with. Maybe for some of us here, we are actually feeling really hurt and burnt by friendships like the kind we're talking about. Maybe there's people that you've committed to, but you face disappointment. You've been let down. You've burnt out, and you're scared to commit again. Well, we have an opportunity to pray for one another this morning, that God would bring healing and restoration. True friendship breaks down barriers. True friendship requires commitment. And finally, true friendship points us to Jesus Christ. True friendship points us to Jesus Christ. You see, Ruth crossed the boundary from Moab to Bethlehem. Well, hundreds of years later, an even bigger boundary was to be crossed in Bethlehem as another story of redemption and rescue unfolded. Known as the House of Bread, Bethlehem was to become the birthplace of the one who would become the bread of life, as God himself crossed the boundary from heaven to earth. At the heart of Christianity is not a God who watches from on high and maybe gives out occasional gifts, like some kind of cosmic Santa Claus who sees you when you're sleeping, who knows when you're awake, who knows if you've been bad or good. We'll stop there because, you know, we might break into song. At the heart of Christianity is a God who enters into our mess and our brokenness. And over the next few weeks, we'll likely hear this reading from John chapter 1. The Word, that is Jesus, became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. That's in the Message translation. His story on earth began as a tiny baby in a stable scandal, born to teenage parents living in poverty. And he went on to spend his life familiar with suffering, pursuing justice at great cost, hanging out with the last, the least, and the lost, and then age 33, in the prime of life, being nailed to a cross, dying a death he didn't deserve, so that he could smash a hole through it and come out the other side 3 days later, defeating death and all that would stand in the way of us being friends with him. He is committed to us. He is committed to us. Why? Well, verse 12 of that chapter of John chapter 1, we read these beautiful words: to all who would receive him, to those who would call on his name, he gives the right to become children of God. That is why he came, because he loves us so much that he wants us to be his children. We get all sorts of names and titles and credentials in this life, but surely there is none greater than son or daughter of God. At the heart of Christianity is one who is present with his people and who longs for friendship with any and everyone who'd receive him. Unlike a worldly accolade, it's not something we've got to earn. We don't deserve it. We just get to say yes to all that he has done for us. It's for any and everyone who would respond to Jesus' invitation to come home, whatever we've done, whatever we've become. I wonder in this story of Ruth, who it is that you associate with. Who do you picture yourself as? But the reality is, in the Christian story, we are Naomi. We are the ones that so often try to run away, push God away, do life on our own, find ourselves again and again in a bit of a pickle. But like Naomi, we have a friend who will not leave us by ourselves. We have a friend who will cross every boundary and who paid the highest price to be with us. He is the one who walks with us, who stays with us, and who has died for us. You know, Naomi's situation was bleak. And maybe this morning your situation feels bleak. And it's important. It is so important that, like Naomi, we acknowledge that. That we don't deny our pain and disappointment. Yes, one day, Jesus will come again and he will wipe away every tear. All suffering and death will be done away with once and for all. But that day has not yet come. And right now it hurts, and it is hard. Yet Jesus, who knew from personal experience the horrors that this world can throw out, he walks with us even through it all by his Spirit while we wait for that day. You see, this one who is called Emmanuel really did come to be with us, not just 2,000 years when he roamed the streets back then, or when we go and be with him in heaven when we die. No, he is with us today by his Spirit, which he promises to all who trust in him. And I know this is true because I've experienced it in the lives of people that I've been friends with and walked with over the years, and I've experienced it in my own life. Just when we arrived here in Guildford, we'd only been here 4 weeks and we had to take our little one to the hospital where he needed a scan on his heart. And we thought everything's fine. We'd left the children with some other amazing people here in Emmanuel and they looked after our bigger boys. And we went off and then we came back and they said, how was it? Because we'd said to them, oh, it's going to be fine. It's all good. And it wasn't quite so fine. He's got a bit of a heart problem. So we just heard the news. We burst into tears and they just stood in our lounge, our new lounge. We didn't know them. They didn't know us really. And we just prayed together. They prayed for us and they cried with us. And we just felt like that was God saying, I'm with you. even in this place, in this new place. And then they left, and then our bigger boys started charging around the house singing a song. Woe, praise him, for he is good. All through time, every hour, every minute, God is good. I've never heard them sing that song at home before, and they had no idea what was going on, and they were just bombing it around the house, singing this at the tops of their voices. Normally we'd have told them to stop, but actually it was a really powerful reminder that God is indeed good. And then the next morning I woke up, my friend had texted me a verse, the verse of the day that day, and on the Bible app if you've got it, and it was from Nahum 1:7. I don't know if I'd ever read Nahum before, but there it was, and it said this: the goodness of Yahweh is beyond belief. For when trouble comes, we run to his heart and hide. He always cares for those who seek refuge in him. What a timely reminder. You see, even in the midst of the mess and the brokenness, Jesus, by his Spirit, is walking with us. And maybe this morning, you're here and you feel like Jesus is so close. You're on top of a mountain and it feels like, you know, I can, you know, I just know his presence with me. And that is amazing. And we want to celebrate that with you. But maybe this morning you're here and you are in the valley and you feel in the pit of despair. Maybe that's because you feel like you've blown it. Maybe it feels like you've run off to Moab, too far for him to rescue you. Well, this morning you need to hear his cry to you. Whatever you've done, whatever you've become, please come home. He has made a way with his boundary-breaking love. And all we need to do is receive him. And we have an opportunity to say yes to him today. There will be people, come and grab myself or somebody on the prayer team or any of the team here. We would love to pray with you and introduce you to Jesus, our friend. Or maybe this morning you feel like circumstances have blocked you from seeing his goodness. And you need to hear his promise to you: I will walk with you. I will stay with you. I have died for you. And we'd love to pray for you that that would sink from head to heart in a moment. In fact, why don't you come up now? The band are going to come and we're going to respond as we hear a song and join in if we want to about the faithfulness of God. And we pray that that truth would sink from your head to your heart. As Naomi and Ruth discovered as they walked together into all the future held, which we're going to find out more about in the coming weeks. When we walk with Jesus into all that lies ahead, the good times and the hard times, we walk into a life that is brimming with hope. True friendship breaks through barriers. It requires commitment and it points us to the one who has broken down every boundary and has committed himself to us so completely. And we're going to remember his love afresh as we break bread together in just a moment. But why don't we stand together? We've been sitting for a little while. Why don't we stand? And we're going to sing a song now, Faithful One. And I just want to encourage us to just bring ourselves to the Lord. He knows where we're at as we come here this morning. He knows whether we're on top of the mountain or in the pit of despair or somewhere in between. And he wants to meet with us. He is Emmanuel. He is with us now by his Spirit. And maybe you just want to ask that he would reveal himself afresh as the band play this. That this truth would sink from head to heart. Maybe you've been hurt by committing to friendships and you want to pray for healing. Well, let's ask the Lord that he would bring healing, even in the storms. Let's commit ourselves afresh to the one who has committed himself to us. Come, Holy Spirit. We welcome you in this place. Thank you that you are here with us. And we pray now as the band plays, we respond to you through this song, that you would minister to each one of our hearts. Thank you that you know our situation. And would you give each one of us a gift? Reveal your presence to us afresh where we are at this morning. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.